Hey guys, this is another wrestling podcast. I'm your host Matthew Allen. Joining me is Wynn Brantley and Ron Fox. Guys, how are y'all? Thank you.
Boy.
Wynn?
I'm doing good. We're about to have probably the easiest episode we've ever done because we don't have to prepare for this at all. Because literally...
What happened this week?
So what do you guys want to talk about?
Cody Rhodes promo from like, what, February?
I think so. Wait, was he around in February? I can't remember. When did
he leave AEW? It was like March-ish.
I don't remember. Honestly.
Oh, he was gone for a long time before he came to WWE, though.
Yeah.
But he like came out and cut that promo. He just walked around the ring grinning. He's like, so what do you guys want to talk about? That's pretty much this episode.
And that's how Sam Punk should have opened the show on Dynamite. Sitting down on like middle of the ring, you know, Indian style. Or sorry, Native American style.
Oh my God.
Crisscross applesauce.
We're getting this one off to a good start.
And just sitting there like, so what do you guys want to talk about? Even put the megaphone, start cutting a pipe bomb or something like that. Do we want to talk about other stuff and then just dive into media scrum? Or do we want to just get the media scrum over with?
So I say we quickly run through like things we liked about the Clash and maybe even a little bit of All Out stuff and just this week in general, whatever you guys want to talk about.
I'm cool with that. I mean, might as well get started with the Clash, which to me, Clash was actually kind of solid. Like, in terms of wrestling, there was some decent storytelling as well. They teased us, or they gave us Broken Dreams, but not really. But not really. Like, hey, we're going to play it. But.
Which, at that point, play it.
Well, I think so.
You have the song right there.
Apparently, Drew was begging for it because he said if there's going to be a crowd that recognizes it and knows it, it's going to be the UK crowd. Because everyone is, apparently the whole UK has followed Drew since he was a wee little baby. You know, like,
well, yeah.
They just knew. So, which made sense, but...
Well, he was the chosen one.
I mean...
Ron's got a point.
You're not wrong. I will still say, I think Drew, and of course right now he is because Cody's hurt and stuff, but I still think even if Cody comes back, I would still argue Drew being the top face.
Not for me personally.
Or for you personally, yeah. I mean, but I'm saying, like, at least to, like, start it. I still think Drew's done a great job being, how about being Cena, honestly. I mean, he's essentially Scottish Cena.
Minus all the accomplishments, sure.
Well, I mean, fair enough. But, I mean, he's been in the main event picture 2 years. I mean.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, I was about to say, I mean, Cena was only, let's see, from when he won this first title in 05. And then to 06, he was 3-time world champion. I think Drew's, 2 years in the main event scene, he thinks 2-time champion, right?
Yeah.
Beat Lesnar and beat Randy. So, I mean, I don't think he'll get to Cena level, but in terms of...
He won't pass 5. He probably won't. He may not even get to 5, honestly.
Probably not now, I think. I do think Cody will, like, surpass him.
Oh, yeah.
I still think Drew... has just done a great job, and I think Drew will continue to be, like, a huge focal point. And I could still argue, like, the top face spot can honestly be split between the two. And you can honestly even argue, even though Roman is the heel, Roman has been getting, some good reactions.
Oh, yeah.
He's been getting cheered a lot. So, but I enjoyed having Broken Jeans for, 30 seconds?
Broken Jeans?
Jeans? Yeah, Broken Jeans.
And I'll wear broken jeans.
They're probably Wranglers. got that Wrangler
to
sponsor.
To hell with Levi.
Damn straight.
But Drew and Roman was not bad, honestly. That was a match that I wasn't sure how it was going to go. And people complained about the finish.
It was good, but we don't need another, we don't need another Austin and Tyson feud. You know, we had a good one back in the 90s. We don't need another one.
Yeah. I don't think, and also I will say this, name a worse way to end a pay-per-view.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh, God.
Like, and never wrong, Tyson Fury is great. Like, I've listened to a lot of interviews, and he's probably, I don't really watch boxing, but I have watched a Tyson Fury fight at least once.
Someone said when Mox lost the world title, he should have came out there singing Wild Thing afterwards.
You made I make my own heart sing.
So he just goes on. But Roman and Drew wasn't bad. Obviously, people were not too thrilled on the finish because you have more interference and things.
It's not the interference that bothers me. It's that people were drooling over the near fall. And that's not even like in the top five of closest near falls in the past 5 years, I would say.
Yeah.
The ref, you know, not to bury him, but he made it pretty obvious with the slow count. And he didn't bump. He's the one that came in with Fury or with Theory. Not Fury.
Theory.
Yeah. But he like made it super obvious, like, hey guys, just want to let all you fans know this is not the finish.
That is an art. That is an art that I don't think, and me personally, because I think the art of the near fall from referees has dwindled so much.
You know what the best way to do it is? Count just, like it's a normal
to
three.
Just count. Yeah. I mean, and trust the fact that they're gonna count. And guess what? If they don't, your job is to keep counting. As far as I've heard, like
that's what they told me.
Kyoto and stuff like keep counting. So, like, the art of the near fall, at least from a referee standpoint, is gone, I think. I don't think there's many refs that – I think refs make it too obvious. Like, hey, I'm going to count slow, or you're going to see me not bring a lot of effort on the three.
When I refed a couple months ago, they literally told me when they're outside of the ring, count to 10. Yeah. Like, if they get counted out, it's on them.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, that's terrifying. So, I kind of get why some refs don't want to do it, but at the same time, like – nut up, man, you know? Just get out there and get your balls in your pants. I don't know.
Is this a motivational speech? What did this turn into?
To pro wrestling referees.
What did this turn into?
I said get your balls in your pants.
That's Wynn's ref seminar right there. just nut up, you know?
Nut up and get your balls in your pants.
In the Wranglers. In your broken jeans.
This is terrible. Okay.
Anyways.
Gunther Sheamus. Best match.
The best match on the card. Now, of course, I'm probably going to be biased because I love just hard-hitting match. I love big, beefy boys hitting each other, you know? So
smacking some meat.
I can.
That's right.
So I can, I think that's my favorite match of the weekend. And All Out had some solid matches that actually kind of surprised me, but Gunther and Sheamus is really good.
Surprise you, a show that focuses on wrestling had good wrestling
matches. I know,
matches.
Right? I mean, well, at least ones that
it's just a bunch of pricks.
Well, like, the ones that I got invested in. Like, there were matches that I did not really care much for that I ended up actually enjoying. Oh, this match has been kind of like Danielson and Jericho, which we might as well move into All Out and stuff. But, like, Danielson and Jericho, I was kind of psyched for, but it wasn't like, oh, man, this is going to be match of the night, things like that.
It was too, like, for me personally, it was a little bit too late into the night for me to get invested in, because I was already a little bit tired.
Yeah, and they went on, I feel like...
It was like 19 or 20 minutes ahead to be.
It was, I can't remember, I looked it up as we're talking, but I felt like it was up there for like probably the second longest of the night. I feel like I'm going to say 23 minutes, if I remember looking at the right one.
23:37.
Is that your actual final guess? Go for it right now. I will
21:19.
21:19. 2020. But Danielson and Jericho wasn't bad, but I do feel like it went on way too long. Also, the pre-show, like, I got really excited for Kingston and Tomohiro, and then I ended up watching it back sometime this week. That did not
The vibe I got from it is they were trying to have their Gunther and Sheamus.
They were, and it just did not pan out that way. And Jericho and Danielson went 23:40.
Good job. 3 seconds off. How about that?
Nice.
You are good for something.
Not much.
longest match of the night.
Wow.
Yep. But that match wasn't horrible. All the trios matches weren't bad. I didn't care much for Wardlow FTR versus Lethal and the Guns, probably because there wasn't much of a story to it. And
was it Lethal? Lethal and the Guns?
Lethal and Emergency Machine Guns.
Oh.
I call them the Lethal Guns. Like, sorry, like I I should have said the Machine Guns, but now you're thinking of the Gun Club and Lethal.
Yeah. I was like, that match didn't happen.
No, it did not. You showed me a clip of the Casino Ladder match when I got in, and you showed me some of the stupid spots, but like,
I'm just not a fan of, like, a car crash ladder match is okay, but when you try to go, like, I just felt like they were trying too hard to do car crash. By the way, Andrade freaking loves that sunset flip powerbomb off the ladder.
I think he's done it in every ladder match. Like, he did it to Finn, what?
Yeah, he did it to Finn at Money in the Bank 2019, yeah. And then he did it to, I forgot already.
Somebody.
He did it to Yuta at All Out. And then has he done it in between then? Like,
no, I don't think so.
I can't remember. I will say this, match of the night for me, though, and I really didn't expect it to be, But I'm going to argue that Swerve in Our Glory versus the Acclaim was match of the night.
It was. Crowd was up for it, too.
In-ring wasn't bad. I mean,
I thought In-ring was really good.
Yeah. I liked that Swerve in Our Glory, even though they were already kind of teasing, or at least Swerve has been kind of teasing, doing a heel run. I'm kind of glad they kind of went with it a little bit and did some heelish stuff. And the Acclaimed are just so over. I mean,
because everybody loves the Acclaimed.
That's right. But I do think the only decision I can argue is Acclaimed should have went over.
Absolutely.
And I think they're saving that. I think they'll try it at Grand Slam.
Aren't they
both from New York or from that area?
Who?
The Acclaimed. I know Caster is because he trained at Creative Pro.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure.
I don't know about Bowens.
Yeah, because, you know, AEW loves giving you your big title win in your hometown, which is not a bad thing.
No, I think it's better than having your guy lose the big title fight in his hometown every single time.
Yeah, that is true.
I mean, I think it should be just like any other match. Like, you shouldn't go, it shouldn't be either, oh, you losing in your hometown and that's it, or you're winning in your hometown, that's it.
To me, it shouldn't be.
And granted, it wasn't a title match, but Punk did lose in Chicago to MJF. So,
but then he won in Chicago for All Out.
Okay.
And so, like,
that's a good balance for me.
50-50 booking.
There you go.
Sure is. 50-50 Chicago booking.
You lost the first time went to Chicago. We'll let you win.
He lost the first two times. Technically, he lost to MJF twice in that same night.
What if the entire roster has a 500 record in Chicago? They just keep going back.
Can we look that up? Like, I kind of want to do the math now.
Just in Chicago, though.
In Chicago.
That would be amazing. And only on pay-per-views.
Well, that would dwindle it down.
But I do think, I think if the Acclaim win at Grand Slam, it's going to be a huge moment. I think the crowd was so into it. They've been on
a
roll.
They were screaming at them like what they wanted. They wanted the Acclaim to win the
titles. I think it should have happened at All Out. And granted, I think it will happen at Grand Slam if the match happens. That's kind of what I'm assuming is going to go on. I don't think the Acclaim just leave the title picture. And of course, they teased Swerve in Our Glory with Miscommunications, what, two or three times in the match?
Yeah.
Still win. Like, usually if you do it once, that means you're losing the belts probably. Like, something's going to happen. But they still won. By the way, I love Swerve in Our Glory. And I think the reason why they're not separated is because if they go on singles runs, Tony Khan will do nothing with them. But Swerve, I forgot how good Swerve is. But just because, like, you saw a little bit of it in NXT, but then he was in NXT, jumps right up to the main roster, then he's gone. So you don't really see much of his potential. Then you get him out in the indies, and he actually wrestled, I think he's wrestled Daniels at Defy and had a really solid match.
See this guy on the indies.
You ought to see. I mean, honestly, like, he's turned into, honestly, one of my favorites outside of WWE, and it showed at All Out. I think he did really good. So you're going to do it, because I saw the bottle. Okay, anyways.
You got to see this guy on the indies.
Jeez.
All right.
Anyways, moving on. Main event happens. We got Punk and Moxley.
Yep.
For the world title.
I thought it was a pretty good match.
Horrible. I mean, Punk wins. That was kind of the obvious thing. That's why I'm assuming, that explains the belt getting dropped and the story. So
I would like to highlight just for a second the presentation of the Joker in the Casino Ladder match. Just the theme song and how well it fit with MJF. Sympathy for the Devil, which I'm assuming that was just a one-time thing since he came out to his normal theme song.
Probably so. I wonder how much it was to use it.
I don't know.
Because I'd assume.
I think Jericho and Tony talked about it in the media scrum afterwards.
Okay.
While the Elite and Punk were beating each other's ass.
I don't think anybody was really focused on that at that point. I think everybody tuned out once Punk left. Like, wait, what are we doing here again?
No, but good match. Go on.
I mean, it was solid. Obviously, Punk wins.
Hurt himself on the dive.
Yeah, and they have still not said what exactly it is. But
they're saying, like, Cody Rhodes' timeline. So, like, I'm assuming a torn something.
So that's twice now. Like, he's been hurt two times in title matches, right? Because he messed his he messed his foot up jumping into the crowd.
Yeah, well, he broke it jumping into the crowd, and then, like, to quote the doctor, pulverized his foot in the match.
Yeah.
So, you know, shattered foot, torn tricep, pec, or bicep, two minor injuries, you know.
You know.
Easy to bounce back.
Yeah,
from.
You know.
God.
Okay, honestly, and this is not at all, because, I mean, I'm sure I'll dig at Punk when we talk about the media screen.
Oh, we are.
But,
come
like,
on.
How long do you go, at least, especially at his, he's 44. Now, granted, 44 is not a bad wrestling age. I think it is if you've taken 8 years off. Like, so, at what point do you
kind of
realize...
Would that help it or hurt it? Eight years off?
You got to think 8 years off of not constantly bumping, not constantly working spots and things like that.
I think it could probably work for and against you.
Yeah.
There's probably pros and cons.
Of course, he was also fighting for at least a little bit during the time.
Yeah,
where
but he wasn't taking flat back bumps, brother.
That's right. Well, you got to think, his contract with UFC...
And diving into the crowd.
I mean, he ended his contract with UFC in, what, 18? Right around the time AEW was getting talked about and starting up. So, I mean, I don't think he was doing much in 3 years. And that could be a lot, because I have heard of... I think it happened to Derrick Rose. He tore his ACL in one knee and then comes back, immediately tears the way in his left knee because he didn't strengthen his leg up while he was recovering. Yep. So, stuff like that has happened. I'm not saying Punk doesn't do anything, because obviously he does work out, and he does train.
Maybe if he would have rehabbed his foot better, he wouldn't have tore his tricep.
That could be it, you know.
You know?
Well, I mean, to be fair, if you are just laying around, because he did say in the media scrum he laid around, what, 2 weeks? A long time with just laying.
He said he wasn't doing much of anything.
And that does not help whatsoever. So,
especially mentally.
No, at all. So, that could explain it, but I mean, at what point does this unfortunately become like a trend of like, okay, I'm going to keep coming back from injuries, but I could also get hurt again because of...
As weird as it sounds, reoccurring injuries seem to be the least of the worries right now for him.
That is true. That is true. I mean, he's got like 6 to 8 months to figure out if he'll have a job and, you know, kind of what's next. So
I think it would be... I feel like it would be wrong if we didn't mention how big MJF's return was, because it's been overshadowed all week by Punk and the Elite. So, like, I just want to talk about how well that was presented, the production of it, just everything about it, you know.
There is one thing. I listened to Cornette this week. By the way, Cornette released a 5.5-hour episode just
I
on
I saw
All
that.
Out.
I saw that.
I did listen to a little bit of it. And there is one thing I can agree a little bit on. And I guess
clear my schedule for the day and listen to the Cornette All-Out review.
I listened to the hot... They'll post clips of it on YouTube. So I listened to the MJF part and the Punk part. There's no way I was going to listen to the other 4.5 hours in between. But I will say this. If they wanted to come back as a heel, like as just normal MJF, I felt like he could have done something maybe more sinister and evil, but I don't think that's what they were going for. Like, that's one thing I can say. I can agree with Cornette. Hey, if you want to come back as a heel, yes, he's got to do something crazy, you know, psychotic, whatever. But they were going for, we're going to pop the crowd and have a moment. Because that's why it was so theatrical with the voicemail and the video package. All that was because they wanted to pop the crowd. They wanted that moment.
Absolutely. So I don't blame them for that either.
I could see it both ways. Well, because really, MJF... And there's a good comparison to somebody I think commented on it. MJF, and of course, in no way, shape, or form am I saying he's The Rock. But in terms of the reactions he's getting from the crowd, him right now is very similar to Rock in like 98, 99.
Yeah.
You're such a good heel, but since you are such a good heel, we cannot boo you. Like, we will.
Honestly, in this day and age of, you know, the fans being quote-unquote smartened up to the business, would it just be a good idea if you wanted to get heat, suck at promos and suck at wrestling?
Honestly,
I mean
that's not a horrible idea.
Like, and I don't mean like botch. I just mean like
not be
good.
Like, yeah. It's not a horrible. Honestly, that's not a bad gimmick.
Then again, reinventing the wheel tends to never go anybody's way in wrestling. So I don't know. It'd be
that's why Eli Drake is just The Rock and Stone Cold. Like,
it would be a ballsy thing to try, but
I think
my career's gonna go nowhere. I might as well try it. Just have shitty gear, bad promos, bad wrestling.
I mean,
don't learn a single move that I didn't learn at Flatbacks.
Don't
never.
Take advice.
Don't take advice.
Just apparently. That, to be the best in the world, you got to take advice.
I wonder who all he took advice from in his later years in WWE.
Paul Levesque. But I liked MJF's return. I thought it was pretty solid. I still, and did they explain it on Dynamite on the Stokely and Guns and all that being a part of it? Did they ever explain it?
Not really, but I think it's coming.
Okay. I am excited for that because MJF is a guy who I think, and I will say, they completely missed out on the Pinnacle in terms of, I think that could have been booked as one of your top heel factions.
It was for a hot minute.
It was, and then after the whole stuff with Jericho, you got to think, what after the Jericho feud with Inner Circle, doesn't Cash get hurt? Isn't that when he tears like that chunk out of his arm, roughly?
Oh, on the turnbuckle. Yeah,
and that, so
damn.
They're out, and then it's not like Spears is going to get booked anyway, so you don't have Spears.
Hey.
I'm going to say, I mean, truthfully, and then Wardlow.
Don't talk about my friend like that.
my good friend, Chris Spears, brother, is right here in town. Perfect 11. And then you got Wardlow, who's just going to be the bodyguard MJF. So it kind of fizzled out because everybody they just didn't do anything with it. Now, though, I think it's different because I think you have guys who are truly going to be heels. FTR are good heels, but they get babyface reactions. They're getting babyface reactions as a part of the Pinnacle. Even though they were attacking Conan and did them spike pile drivers, they're getting cheered. Wardlow, I think what they were kind of getting some cheers at that point. Spears probably the only guy that's getting booed, but again, he only shows up a handful of times. So
he only shows up to be a dick too.
Like, honestly, yeah. So, but now you have MJF, and if it is this faction, you got Stokely, which by the way, Stokely, what a heat seeker. Like, he is all about getting a reaction, getting heat. The Guns, who enjoy getting heat. And then is it W. Morrissey is also there?
Yes.
Ethan Page, something. Yes. It's a solid group.
It's not.
And then Lee Moriarty, I think, yeah, Stokely guys.
It's not a bunch of jobbers. Like,
no, it's a bunch of younger, underutilized guys. Because Ethan Page is, I can say, underutilized. I mean, especially with Scorpio being out. And they did the whole, which I enjoyed them being with Dan Lambert, but I would much rather have them as a team and not with Dan Lambert. But then you got Morrissey, who had just left Impact and was kind of needing something. And then the Guns, who is doing the whole thing with splitting up with their dad or something.
And the Guns are super over, by the way.
And they are, yeah. So I hope this has some legs to it, to where maybe they can not be the Pinnacle 2.0. Which I think that's kind of a, I'm not going to say a trend, but that's kind of a trend with guys who have factions. If they did another one, it has like almost the same amount of people, but they're kind of different. Just kind of, like Jericho in the Inner Circle had, you know, Santana, Ortiz, Guevara, Hager. Now the Appreciation Society, hey, we're going to give you, you know, 2.0, and then Hager's back, Guevara's back. So you're getting a couple of new guys, and it's just trying to be a little different than what the first faction was. So I hope if this is a faction, they're not just Pinnacle 2.0, we're the best of all time. Because truthfully, you can't say that.
No.
Because where do the Guns rank on the greatest tag teams of all time? Anybody?
I mean, being that they've only been a tag team for like a year and a half.
Yeah, I mean, you know, W. Morrissey, where is he ranking in terms of talent? Honestly, much better now. So, I mean, it's just you have guys who I think are underutilized and could honestly benefit a lot from being in a faction. So I'm pretty excited for MJF being back, and I think AEW should be too. He's the best thing going for him.
If you lose MJF and Cody in the same year, like, that's...
You have problems. Again, they were kind of slowly trending up with Punk being around.
Yeah.
But having MJF back, maybe they can have that equal balance where they don't lose a lot. I don't know.
So it's no secret that the honeymoon phase for AEW is over. Yeah. In my opinion, the honeymoon phase ended when Cody left, because that puts just cracks all around. It's like an EVP just left. Why?
Yeah. Well, and also, like, one of the guys who I can argue AEW, and of course, this is not because I just left Cody Rhodes. I can argue AEW being the brainchild of Cody.
Yes.
And then go into the... And then bringing the Elite on with it. And also, I was kind of using the Elite to get
it going. I say that Cody and the Elite both had an equal, like...
Well, I think all of them wanted to do it, but you can always tell, at least with Cody's interviews after leaving WWE, he wants to book, and he wants to run his own promotion. So that's why Cody wanted to take the booking route and whatnot. So, but yeah, I agree. Honeymoon's over. You've been around... You're going on 3 years.
3 years in October as far as TV goes.
Yeah.
Three and a half. If you... When was the announcement? Like, they did that little press conference thing.
February.
Okay, so
2019.
So you could argue 3 years.
Yeah, they did the whole they did the vignette of them in Japan with their phones. That was like New Year's Day of 2019. So, but 3 years. You're going on 3.5 years. So now it's kind of time to really start establishing yourself, start gaining an audience, because you already have your base audience.
Yeah, you've got your hardcore wrestling fans.
Which is around, you can argue, about 750,000 to about 900. It's probably their base audience. Now you need to kind of start to grow. Punk has helped that.
Yep.
Of course, now, with that being up in the air...
First $1 million house drawn on his back, apparently.
I think so. Haven't they drawn the last... Didn't Double or Nothing also draw $1 million?
Yeah.
So shows that Punk's been on...
And this year's looking to be a $100 million year.
Yeah, so it's done really well with Punk at the helm. And of course, we'll get to it. We'll probably talk more about it when we talk about the media scrum, which we may as well transition to it.
Go ahead and get into it.
But, like...
Your discretion's advised. We got some idiots talking.
No kidding. But we got, honestly... So with his future being up in the air, can AEW stay kind of trending upward?
I think they can.
Okay.
So I'm going to go ahead and put it like this. I can imagine...
Or born you, Ryan?
I'm struggling.
Just go ahead. I can envision AEW without CM Punk. I can't envision AEW without the Elite. The Bucks, Omega, Hangman. I can't imagine AEW without those guys. And I couldn't imagine it without Cody either.
That's true.
But...
And we all
when you take
that.
The entire Elite and go, oh yeah, from January to August, they're all gone.
Mm-hmm.
It's a completely different vibe.
Yeah. So,
a scary vibe, like.
Yeah, well, because you got to think of all the people that had hired there, which of course, you know, people do it around All Friends Wrestling. You know, it's all the Elite's buddies and stuff. Wouldn't you hire your friends? Like, Wayne, if I start up a wrestling company, I'm booking you as top star, brother, you know?
Thanks, man.
I'm kidding. I'm going to put you in the Colt Cabana.
It's a bad idea.
I'm going to put you in the Colt Cabana role. Like, just go be in the background for a faction.
Because I share a bank account with my mother, and I stopped doing improv a while back. Is that why?
We may as well go. Like,
I'm not friends with Nick anymore.
Can we talk about Punk's media scrum? Because he comes in, now mind you, he's still full ring gear, which, by the way, I'm not usually a fan of the old long boy tights on him.
The white tights.
The white looked really good. Yes. I mean, Chicago colors, perfect, awesome. Didn't mind it.
You were pissed about the blood getting on it, though.
I am. Look, I was also upset when the Pinnacle wore it in Blood and Guts. And I get why they do it, because it's going to stain, it's going to look cooler and all that. But... I know. Now, of course, for Punk, it doesn't matter. I know gear's expensive. So, like, if I got my white gear stained with stuff that's kind of hard to get out, like, I wouldn't be too happy about it. So, I was a little upset when he's just bleeding everywhere on his tights. But it still looked cool. I mean, which, by the way, Punk is not a horrible bleeder. Like, truthfully, there are some guys who get really good color and bleed very well, and there's some that don't. Punk's not bad. Moxley does it 500 times, so he's just kind of somewhere in the middle. So, who's the greatest blader of all time?
We're really
absolutely who, yeah, greatest blader. Who do you think has bladed the best in all time of wrestling?
I'll say Austin.
You'll say Austin. Sit over there, Sam. Just let you have an opinion. You know. Thank you, Ryan. Who do you think gigged the best, brother?
I guess Flair, because it gets everywhere.
especially in his last match.
Yeah,
I was gonna say Flair
passed out twice.
Fair enough. Anyways, back to our actual conversation.
That's crazy. That man is insane.
I wonder if he was smoking on his Ric Flair drip when that was going on. Do you want to talk about the trend of wrestlers just releasing cannabis? Because now Kevin Nash is on the train. His strain is called Jackknife. Anyways.
Big Daddy Smoke.
I was hoping
Why
for,
didn't he call it that?
I was hoping for Big Sexy. Like... Yeah. That'd have been, or Big Daddy Cool. Like, all this would have been great, but no, Jackknife. Oh, cause
I'm talking some OG Big Daddy Cool. You know, but some OG Jackknife?
Well, I guess.
Are you doing black tar heroin? That's what it sounds like.
That sounds like something a little harder.
Yeah, Jackknife.
Well, I guess he thought he was, like, his finisher was more famous than he was. Like, no, brother, like, we know you for your nicknames, like, your finisher. Now, we know the Jackknife Powerbomb, but who cares?
No, never heard of it.
You're Big Daddy Cool. Or maybe we just could have named it the little honk honk.
Little honk honk, yeah.
Let me get the
get the oog.
What is this, Polar Express? When they pull the guy's beard?
Oh.
That's what that sounded like.
I didn't
like.
Know we're going back down the movie route. That worked well for us last time.
So,
Punk comes, like, immediately comes in. And rumor was he's playing this all out, but...
All out. Sorry. Continue.
Planned it all out for all out.
He was going to go all out.
For all out.
For all out.
After Can we call out. This the call out at all out?
Yes.
That's going to be the Dark Side of the Ring episode name.
That's right. Chicago Screwjob.
See him punked. That's what it's going to be called. That's at least what the that's what the edit that someone made on Twitter was called.
Okay.
Which was done beautifully, by the way.
So he comes in with like a 12-pack of those the like non-alcoholic
athletic.
The athletic, it's beer pretty much, but it's just non-alcoholic, and it's supposed to be good, like, have electrolytes, some
bullcrap.
Yeah, it comes in with, like, a 12-pack of those, and then...
Just in a bag.
Yeah, and then just some baked goods from the best bakery in Chicago, apparently. It's only open Wednesday through Saturday.
It's closed on Mondays and Tuesdays, though.
And he's sitting there, and he talks to Nick. I don't remember who Nick was working for.
Well, I knew it was going to get bad. Granted, I wasn't watching the media scrum until I saw on Twitter that... all that crap was happening. But when I watched it back and they said, all right, we'll start over here. You can raise your hand. And Punk goes, I'll start. And I'm, oh God. Calls and out our boy, Nick.
God, poor Nick, dude.
He did a great job though.
Yeah. Like, and also I don't think that was what Nick was wanting to happen. I think Nick was actually wanting to ask some decent questions
about
know?
Wrestling. Probably.
Yeah, probably. So and he's got CM Punk leading him with the best lead in line. Have you done improv lately?
No. I mean, fancy yourself a journalist?
Like, and then just goes on. And by the way,
you play Xbox? Like, just insignificant ass question.
It reminds me of a B movie. You like jazz? But like, also, I get probably why, which is it's shoot, brother.
Well, he
can
set it up.
Just call him Colt Cabana.
And he even said it. He even said it. Nick blew his spot because he was expecting him to say, yes, I'm friends with Scott. But instead he's like, no, me and him don't see eye to eye. And Punk was like, oh, that makes two of us.
And
like,
then just goes to town.
Literally.
I mean, talking about the lawsuit, talking about not being friends with him, you know.
Shares a bank account with his mother.
He mentioned that a lot.
Yeah, like three times.
Which, by the way, I mean, hey, that's not a horrible idea. You know what? I mean, good financial sense. You know, he's an accountability partner.
It is not my position to judge anybody how they do their finances.
Absolutely not. But apparently, if you're punk, if you share a bank account with your mom, you're lowest of the low, just scum of the earth.
You're a loser. Yeah. You're mommy.
Yeah. Just punk never shared a bank account with his mother. Guess what? I shared one. Granted, I was like 15 when I did. But still, like, who cares? What? Like, it doesn't matter. And he keeps bringing up this everything about the court and the lawsuit, and it's just... Totally. And by the way, no one cared about that.
Dude, if I was there, I would have raised my hands and go, when? Oh, well, it was a few. No, Punk. When did I ask? When did anybody ask about Colt Cabana?
And then it transferred.
Boom,
and,
boom.
And then boom, boom. And then it transitioned into, let's talk about our EVPs. Let's talk about Hangman. And
he laid into Hangman, dude.
Yeah.
It was like he was going off about, okay, if it weren't for all the comments about the EVPs, I would go as far as to say that the Colt Cabana comments could have probably been forgotten in a few days.
Mm-hmm.
Probably just been, oh, you know, he's never really talked about it in the public, has he?
Not really.
We've always heard about this lawsuit and all this stuff, but we've never really heard about it in the public. This was his first time talking about it in the public. So in a few days, this probably would have all blown over, honestly, because who cares?
Yeah.
Well, but when
some wrestling journalists care, because that's a good headline for a couple of days.
Like, which, by the way, Sean Ross and a bunch of other like guys came out and said that the Bucks did not report to them that he tried to get Colt fired.
I'm curious on who started that rumor.
I don't know.
Or if it like that's like it, I'm kind of curious on where that started at.
The only thing I remember seeing from people like Meltzer, and I might be wrong, so don't quote me, but only thing I saw was that Colt being moved to Ring of Honor was because of Punk.
Yeah, I don't think it's ever was said that, like, oh, well, Punk's gonna, like, Colt's going to lose his job. Now, there was, like,
there
little
was never
rumors.
Never a rumor of Punk getting Colt fired because Colt wasn't fired.
Yeah, like, I mean, you had people on Twitter who was just, like, I guess, speculating, oh, well, Punk's in AEW now. Colt Cabana's got to be gone. Like, you had just random people on Twitter saying that. Not anybody who's an actual source saying that, hey, Colt Cabana's getting moved around and not appearing because of Punk being there. Like, that's not at all...
And he, and when Punk first got to AEW, like, someone kind of beat around the bush with this question, and I wish they would have just asked the entire question then so we would have gotten this all over with. But he asked him, he's like, is there anybody in the locker room that you maybe don't like or have some past problems with? He said, I'm fine with everybody in the locker room. He said that.
Yeah.
So I would assume maybe he was indifferent, or they had maybe patched things up a little bit.
That's what you would think when you heard the interview.
Or that they just ignored each other. You know?
Which is, you know what, believe it or not, a mature thing to do.
It's fine.
Holy crap.
You don't have to be friends with someone. You just have to coexist with them
when
you work
like,
with them.
Like, believe it or not, guys, us three do not like each other.
We just have to work together because we bring in so much money with the podcast.
I mean, honestly, look, we booked this. And now when we do our media scrum. But... he goes on and on.
he was going in on Colt, and then he's like, what did I do to deserve an empty-headed dummy like Hangman Adam Page? I'm like, bro, go into business for himself. He's, what did I do? And then he goes, Dave, what did I do?
Did you think he's going to get approval from Dave Meltzer, which he could have? I mean, like, you're right, Punk, you've done nothing. But he has. I understand you may not like Hangman. He went off script. Great. Then you go off script. Can we just leave it at that? No. I have to remind you that he went off script, and so I'm going to continue to just dig his grave deeper
right.
and deeper.
Hangman went off script, said that I'm not defending the AEW championship from you. I'm defending All Elite Wrestling from you. All right? Went off script. No. Bad. All right? Punk gives him a receipt. Fair game. Is anybody listening?
I'm listening.
Jesus Christ. CM Punk gives him a receipt. Fair game, okay? They are even. Supposedly there's a closed-door meeting with Tony Khan, Hangman, and Punk. All right? Situation done. Right? Should be.
In a mature world, yes. Like, that's it. That should be the end of it. Or at least that should be the resolving of it. And then y'all just move on. If whatever, you don't speak to each other. Just move on and do business. Clearly, that's not what Punk has wanted. Same with the comments on the EVPs. Because apparently, even though, mind you, Hangman does not book for CM Punk. The EVPs have no booking say in CM Punk.
No, if that was the case, would Punk have beat Hangman?
Exactly. It's all Tony Khan. So you don't have to be around them. You can just... Now, I did make the argument when we talked about it Sunday night or maybe even Monday morning. Like, hey, he might be around Omega because Omega's probably going to be in the world title picture.
Yeah.
Or should be. I mean, Omega's the best.
Yeah, at least in terms of in-ring talent, and probably to the main audience, he's clearly the best wrestler in the company. To their niche audience, he is the best.
It would make sense that Omega would probably feud with Punk at some point. That's the only time Punk would maybe have to deal with him. It's not like he's sharing a locker room with him, clearly. I mean,
and maybe in trios if you ever wanted to do Punk and FTR versus the Elite.
Yeah.
By the way, if this all goes bad, which I think it is, with probably Punk leaving... You just ruined a lot of cool shit that could have happened.
I mean, you do ruin a lot of cool moments, even some dream matches.
Yep.
But unfortunately, like, if he does leave, it's only because, to me, it's only because of him. You can argue, well, Hangman started it. Punk finished it. Tony Khan finished it. But Punk kept wanting to go on and on and on with it.
It just sounded like Punk wanted to fight. Punk wanted to, argue and stuff about this.
And cause problems.
Yeah. It just, it didn't seem like he wanted to put an end to things.
No, and it was and I mentioned it when we were texting about today, he wanted to come out and speak about it as if he's a victim, and this martyr who is the
two-time AEW world champion.
Yeah, this whole voice of the voiceless gimmick that he thinks is a legit thing for him. Like, I speak for those who can't speak for themselves. You don't, you're like...
And by the way, him... him trashing the EVPs, you know, saying they couldn't manage a target, which, by the way, managing retail is probably a lot harder than he's putting it over to be.
Yeah.
In my opinion, that's a shot at Tony Khan.
Oh,
Tony hired those guys to do the job that he asked them to.
Whatever it is. Like, even though the title is executive vice president, are they at all executives on a business stance? No. They're hired to do a certain job. Like, I can't remember how it was split up. I think, doesn't Kenny handle the video game stuff?
And women's wrestling.
Women's wrestling, the Bucks do the tag stuff. Cody was kind of helping with other stuff when he was there. So, like, they actually do have a job to do there. And I don't think, now granted, I'm not saying that they have all the responsibility and they're the head guy to go to. No. Tony Khan, it's same thing with Vince. It all ends with Tony Khan.
Yeah.
It's his say-so. The Bucks, Kenny, and all of them were kind of just there to give a lending hand, give some expertise and advice on the wrestling side of things. So,
and you know, we've poked fun at Khan and made fun of him a lot, but I genuinely felt bad for him that entire, like...
Well, if you're Tony Khan, which we just still joke about him now, did you imagine if Tony Khan's coming off a high? Like, I'm talking about, like, just, I mean, he's kind of starting to go down a little bit, and he just comes back to earth, and he's like, oh, man, I wonder what's happening. And then you hear Punk, I'm not friends with Scott Colton, haven't been since 2014, late 2013, and then Tony's in his head's like, well, I don't know what's going on here, and just completely lost.
If you're referring to the jokes about him possibly being on cocaine, that's not how a cocaine high works.
Is it not how it works? I don't know how drugs work.
Well, not like that.
Now you know.
Now, maybe if he was on freaking LSD, yeah, maybe that would... Or maybe he thought that was part of his high. Oh, God, why am I tripping about Punk talking about Cabana?
It could be. I mean, maybe it's a new Coke, you know? They had a new Coke in the 80s.
You got to stop. You got to stop, Matthew.
They only did that because they messed it up.
I can't... Okay.
That's right. The new Coke. That's why...
So he keeps, and as he's going on, and this is one thing that I was kind of laughing about. As he's going on, he's just sitting there, just chowing down on a muffin. Like he's just, I mean, licking his fingers and stuff. He's pouring blood, you know, just sitting there, and he's just ranting and raving about the company that, mind you, is paying him millions of dollars. You know, trashing the owner who is paying him those millions of dollars, and he's just eating a brownie.
Like, I saw someone saying something like. Like, I like how Brian Alvarez didn't back down from him. Because, like, supposedly he called out Dave earlier. He was like, what did I do, Dave? He said something like, you got that, Alvarez? And then supposedly Alvarez said, like, I didn't say that. And, it, like, I'm glad somebody, like, didn't care.
Yeah. It just kept getting worse and worse and worse. And then he brings up MJF, but even you mentioned that could be storyline.
Yeah, I mean, some of it sounded like storyline stuff, like the stuff with MJF, like, I'm sick of wrestling kids that think they know everything. That sounded, you know,
yeah.
Storyline saying.
So, maybe, I mean.
And then when he made that comment where he said, you know, Max wants to talk about, you know, the grass being greener on the other side. The grass isn't greener on the other side. The grass is greener wherever you water it, and Max likes to shit where he eats, which is ironic being that that's exactly what he's doing in this entire media scrum.
Yeah. And what he's, you know...
Taking a giant fat crap all over
it. And the truth, he really did. So I actually read up and listened to Bischoff talk about it.
Oh, God.
Bischoff laid into Punk. And he was like, dude, you whine and complain in front of the man who's paying you millions of dollars. You just made this company look terrible.
Maybe not intentionally, but this media scrum... From Punk was an attack on AEW.
Yeah. Like, even though in his mind he's defending himself from these kids.
Pricks.
He is just slowly destroying, like, AEW, just burying AEW.
Yep.
Because they're all, like, it's understandable. Okay, if you want to talk about talents from other places, that's different. Like, you know, if he had a loss at Will Ospreay, you know what? You know what?
Sure. They just compare bank accounts.
You know what? I can take a guess.
Well, Will Ospreay doesn't share one with his mother.
That's all that matters.
Yeah, but what's his t-shirt sales looking like, though?
Ooh.
I mean, honestly, did Will Ospreay, you know, sell the most t-shirts in pro wrestling tees history? No.
Part of me is like, and I know it probably isn't, but part of me just is hoping and praying that this is a work, because if not, you've ruined and tarnished a lot of good stuff, and you've lost a ton of fans. If you come back First of all, you got to be heel. Second of all, if you come back from that 8-month hiatus of injury, if you come back in the title picture, Tony Khan has not made the right decision there.
Yeah, you have to be heel and healed because he is now hurt again. Like, he got hurt in the match 6 to 8 months. So, like, regardless, like, the thing is, that's the unfortunate part, is that he is not going to, like, he's not getting punished unless he gets fired.
Now
he's gone for 6 to 8 months.
Okay, so there's a pending investigation from a third party firm because both sides of the story were so different from each other. Mm-hmm. Which Punk and Steele's side of the story was that they busted through the locker room door. Steele got protective of his wife because, you know, the Young Bucks are just known to beat up women for no reason.
They have super kicked a lot of females. They're coming in to give a super kick party.
And he still thinks it's all real, brother. He's like, I ain't letting them super kick my wife.
No. He thought when the door.
So he throws a chair.
He thought when the door dragged it down, he thought they super kicked it down. Just, no, you're doing it to my honey. And just throws a chair.
Oh, honey.
Honey.
So that's their side of the story, is that Steele got protective over his wife, so he decides to bide another man, whatever. And then you got the Elite side of the story, which, I mean, sounds more realistic.
Well, the thing is, like, the big thing that we had talked about, the big difference was, is how the Elite entered the room.
Yeah.
Like, if you hear Punk and Steele's side, they bust the door down, came in, and all that type of stuff, and were, I guess, trying to be violent, or at least being a little chaotic. On the Elite side of things, they came into the room, and then as they came into the room, Punk and Steele went just crazy.
Punk and Steele's side of the story is like that episode of Better Call Saul when he busts down Chuck's door after he found out that he taped him.
Yeah. Well, I think it's also, it sounds, the story, both stories sound so much like we're going to protect ourselves.
Dude, the Elite side of the story is literally Kenny trying to protect a dog.
Poor Kenny. Like, because I don't see Kenny being a violent guy outside of
They said he was not mad at all until he got bit, which, you know what? If a German Shepherd comes running at me, you know.
Did you just compare Ace Steel to a German Shepherd?
Yes. My friend Daniel did. Shout
got
out
that
to Daniel.
Dog in him.
he got the dog in him, son.
Apparently.
Apparently so. Had some chompers on him.
He probably, because, like, supposedly he was protecting Punk's dog. Larry.
Yeah.
Which,
Larry.
What a dumb name for a dog, anyways.
Larry.
Ryan, please God.
That's Ryan's input. Just, Larry.
But supposedly he picked up the dog, handed the dog off like a football, son.
38 toss.
All right, we're going option here. But he hands the dog off and he gets bit. He was probably thinking, damn, is there another dog in this room?
Maybe Ace Steele thought he was going to give the dog to One Winged Angel. He just thought Kenny was going to kill the dog.
So, like, okay, if your story is that you were protecting your wife and you're fearing for her safety, why are you going after the man who's, like, picking up a dog?
Also,
go after Nick and Matt, who just busted the door open.
He was going to throw the dog at her.
I was protecting my wife from 3 indie wrestlers.
You ought to see these guys on the indies.
You ought to see these guys on the indies.
Okay.
I heard they can't fight.
So how like, regardless of whose story
is
right.
No, they're wrestlers.
Regardless of whose story is right, how differently does this go if Hangman Page is still in the building?
Hangman just butt-shot lariats through the door. Front flips through the door.
He comes riding through on a horse.
Gives the buckshot to...
That's what he does. Comes in on Hunter Horse Helmsley.
And then does the front flip over the horse.
Yep.
Gives Larry a buckshot.
And then just, what does he call his SIG?
Deadeye?
Yeah, gives the Deadeye to
Ace Steele's wife.
and then he starts biting Punk in the neck like a vampire. Just all while drinking beer out of his boot.
Dude, in an alternate universe, we know what would have happened.
That's right. I mean, we knew, because this is real.
So supposedly MJF was a neutral witness to this fight. All right.
That'd have been great.
What if MJF, like, MJF, he probably went up to the Elite during Punk's meeting. Hey, you know, me personally, I wouldn't let that slide. And then he goes and sits in the locker room. Hey, Punk, great match. Can't wait to work with you. Oh, no, the Elite.
Oh, no.
And then they come in going, hey, How could you say that? And then he just looked, Punk, me personally, I would not let that slide.
Also, so Brandon Cutler got suspended, right? And was Nakazawa? Weren't they all, anybody who was in the room?
Did Nakazawa oil himself up and get...
I was thinking Nakazawa oiled himself up for leverage against Ace Steel. And then as that's happening, as the Bucks are dying, apparently, because Nick Jackson gets knocked
they
out.
They said he got messed up, dude.
You see Cutler with the cooling spray. Just like spraying... The room's just filled with smoke because of Cutler.
Regardless of how this turns out, they have content for BTE forever.
They do. So, and then... so
there's already a clip of Cody throwing a chair at Nick Jackson.
Yeah. There is. It was from BTE. This was...
Oh, it was a while ago.
Probably around... I mean, around the time AJ's probably getting started. So, who's... Christopher Daniels got suspended, apparently.
Pat Buck.
I love how people... There were actually some people who thought Pat
Supposedly,
Buck was the
like
one that got knocked out.
The chief... somebody important for the damn Jaguars was in there, too.
It was Tony Khan's dad. it's Urban Meyer coming in there.
Oh, my God.
Tim Tebow is just
Trevor
like...
Trevor Lawrence is in there, like, hold on.
Look at my hair, guys.
That's right. Here, Nick, you need some of my hair? Jeez. Just... So... Nick gets, a chair thrown at him, black-eyed, knocked out, apparently got knocked out during all this.
Yeah.
Kenny gets bit. Ace is fine.
According to the Elite story, right when they walked in, before they could even say anything, Punk just started throwing hands. Like
using that UFC training.
Which he said multiple times in the past, too. If you have a problem with me, my locker room door is open. Come talk to me.
And it was closed.
Apparently not.
But.
Apparently the Elite had to BTE trigger in. Could you imagine? That's how they announced their way. BTE trigger and just break down the door.
No, they tried to BTE trigger into it. They couldn't. All right. They tried to super kick party the door. It wouldn't break down.
Then they tried knocking.
No. Then. Kenny picked up Nick and Matt and gave them a one-wing angel through the door. Because indie wrestlers love doors. They love using doors as weapons. There's so much to unpack here. It's not even like...
And not to mention, like, also, I love how people were comparing... just Tony Khan apparently... Someone walks up to Tony Khan during Is It Swerve in Our Glory?
Oh, I already know what you're about to say.
Yeah, and they're comparing it to when Bush get told about 9/11.
They posted a side-by-side, and it looks kind of identical.
Yeah, and it's a guy telling Tony Khan about, hey.
This episode comes out on September 12th, by the way.
Yeah. So,
good night.
Well, show's not over yet, bud. But I feel bad for the people who are doing the media scrum who probably know that this is happening.
There's an angle, from the side where you can see a security guard sprinting out of the room.
I mean, and the thing is that, was Jericho the last one to do it?
I believe so, yeah.
Jericho had to have known this is happening.
Well, there's also Jericho whispered something to Tony afterwards. Like, he got up, and you just see him, give Tony a hug, gets to his ear. Hey, man, Punk getting his ass kicked right now. Like,
I'm a Judas in my mind. Sandpaper, and then just leaves. But it kind of felt, and really, it ruined the whole media scrum because everybody else kind of is awkward now.
Yeah,
I mean, Swerve and Our Glory actually wasn't horrible in the media scrum. I mean, Keith Lee, mind you, Keith Lee is dressed very well.
They
suit,
were both dressed
everything.
Well.
And it's kind of like, literally all the air is now sucked out of the room because Punk has taken his baked goods and went home.
So, do you think...
And got his ass kicked.
Actually, I mean...
I think he came out somewhat unscathed other than the torn muscle, which supposedly came during the match.
Yeah.
So, barring this third-party investigation...
I wonder who's investigating. Can we just think about who it is?
No.
FBI? Sure.
CIA?
Matthew, stop. You gotta stop. I'm just saying, with Punk already being out for 8 months, do you think maybe, regardless of the outcome of this investigation, they use time as their friend and try to fix this? I think they are all missing out on a lot of money if they don't try. Because you've got, Everybody loves realism in wrestling, okay?
Yeah.
They know there's legitimate problems with these guys now. Make some money off of it.
I think that would be the right thing to do. That's the best thing to do. Yeah. I mean, if you want AEW to continue moving up,
I don't want, like, I don't want anybody to get fired because I like the way things are there right now. It's entertaining TV. And I don't want them to just, okay, we'll go our separate ways, and when we see each other in the hallway, we'll look the other way. No, work together, figure this out, and make money, and genuinely feel like you guys hate each other out
there.
Here's
the thing, and here's, I think if you're Tony Khan, and maybe in 6 to 8 months, maybe the locker room will be different. I think it's
Punk won't be there.
Oh, no, that's the thing. I think you have to do what's best for the locker room. If locker room morale has now dropped, which you can't tell me it hasn't.
Oh, for sure.
But if your locker room has now got divided or became toxic or it's just kind of dropped down in terms of morale, maybe even a little bit of time, but I don't think Punk coming back would change.
Supposedly, according to Meltzer, a lot of people don't want him back.
I don't blame him. He literally just crept on the company that everyone's working for.
How do you think, like, okay, so, like, Punk's, like, friends, like, close friends from WWE, like, Christian, probably Mark Henry.
Off topic is also hurt.
Yeah. Yeah, he's hurt now. And it's going to be about the same timeline for him.
Yeah, that's why he didn't wrestle at All Out.
All them ex-WWE guys.
I know, right, Ryan?
Hurt all the time.
It's like the Alabama running backs.
Thank you. I agree. So there's 4 months roughly left in this year, and this is already the most out-of-pocket year in professional wrestling. Stone Cold Steve Austin returning for a match is like an honorable mention of crazy crap that's happened this year.
Cody's in WWE.
MJF. Vince is gone.
Yep, MJF almost left AEW.
Dude, like, and there's still 4 months left? This has been, in as long as I've watched wrestling pretty much my whole life, this is the craziest year I can remember.
In terms of, like, backstage stuff, like, I even argue, with on-screen stuff, this has been probably one of the craziest years in a while.
There has been something to talk about every single day.
Yeah, I mean, it's been the most newsworthy year in recent memory.
Like, so, wow.
And you're right, there's only 4 months left. And a lot clearly has happened in 8 or 9 now, we're in September. So, there's really no telling what's coming up, I guess, next. Because it's going to
I'm afraid insane. Of what's coming up next. I'm afraid. I don't know, man.
Triple H invades AEW with DX.
So you guys know me. I've always been a huge CM Punk fan.
Who are you?
Ryan, God, you guys suck. But you guys know I've always been a huge CM Punk fan. Mm-hmm. This sucks, man. Like, this is upsetting to me. Like, as a guy who's liked CM Punk pretty much as long as I've watched wrestling. And just to see this and realize, damn, they were right about him. It really sucks. To see that he begged for an environment like AEW for years, and it's here, and he's there, and he still can't play nice.
I think he begged for an environment like that to pretty much be the guy almost in control. Which everyone in wrestling does have a selfish tendency. I mean, I was just reading on Twitter that apparently Roman Reigns has said apparently he doesn't want to turn babyface at all, and has refused turning babyface. Like, some people are.
Sometimes you have to be selfish, though.
Exactly.
You know.
In this sense, for Punk,
what else does he need?
What do you need?
He is only the second 2-time world champion in the history of this company.
And you're going to make money regardless of where you are on the card.
Doesn't matter.
Like, you should just be there to. Also, you should be there for what you said you were going to do. Elevate new talent and have some good matches.
I'm sick of wrestling these kids that think they know everything.
Yeah. But yet, you wanted to wrestle these kids who knew everything.
Yeah.
Like.
So, my thing is.
Unless it's about young guys like Bryan Danielson and FTR.
So Cody kind of wanted to be in control in a way. Tony told him no. Cody didn't freak out. He just said, okay, it's been a pleasure, but I'm going to go do it. Now that you've told me I can't book, I'm going to go be a world champion.
Well, I'm kind of curious on, because I don't think we will ever hear Cody's side of the story because he has non-disclosure agreements with AEW, apparently.
Does he?
Apparently, it has been mentioned that's why you have not heard why he's left, because there's non-disclosure in place.
Regardless, though.
But I'm kind of curious on what the, I'm kind of curious on, not really his reasonings, we kind of know his reasonings. He wanted to have a little more say-so and stuff, and probably thought it was the best fit, and he probably did see a great opportunity to, hey, I can go back to WWE and be the guy.
It was, I mean, like in AEW, and he still says it. He's like, dude, AEW was my baby. He's like, they don't need me anymore though. He said it in some cheesy ass Cody Rhodes way, but he's like, they've grown up. They don't need me anymore.
Yeah, they don't need their dad.
But you know,
my beautiful wrestling company baby,
my beautiful wrestling princess. it's time to grow up and then become a queen.
Anyways,
my black and gold baby.
Oh God. Anyways, I'm gonna say anyways until.
Go ahead.
So anyhow. So Punk starts, you know, wanting control by saying things in the scrum like, I'm trying to run a business here, or he said something else that, like,
oh, telling Tony Khan it's not his place to speak about his company. Like, oh, I should have done better. It's not your place. Like, yeah, he owns the company. His place is whatever he wants it to be.
Well, because supposedly, like, they had asked Tony about Colt Cabana, like, previously, and he said no comment. Because why would you comment on it?
And there is no comment. He's doing the same stuff he did 3 years ago when he got signed. He's in the background of the Dark Order.
I love how when one of the reporters, like, way late in this scrum asked him, is Punk MJF going to main event Arthur Ashe? The way he said it, like, normally he would just sort of said, oh, no comment. But he said, I am not going to comment on that. Because he knows in his head, this is not going to work.
Yeah.
Because Punk's hurt anyways.
Punk's hurt. Even if he was healthy, I don't see him being at Arthur Ashe, because I'm assuming he would be suspended.
Did he use the AEW title? Did he want the AEW title as kind of a force field, like an invincibility thing that he could go out there and say what he wanted to say and get away with it?
Probably.
Because he said 2 weeks ago to someone, allegedly, according to Meltzer, grain of salt, whatever, this press conference is going to be good. You know, it's going to be interesting.
He wants, the same reason he wants a title is the same reason why Sean didn't get punished for the curtain call. So yep. When all of them left for WCW and all that, Triple H got punished because Hall and Nash left, and then Sean was world champion. And so Sean was untouchable, pretty much. I think Punk was kind of expecting it the same way. Hey, I'm world champion. What are you going to do? Are you going to fire me? Suspect you can't. I'm literally the reason why you have ratings and why you're getting $1 million gates. I could see it. I mean, it doesn't surprise me. I mean, every world champion probably has that same effect. Like, are you going to punish me?
But he went way far. Like, if he would have just said that stuff about Colt and maybe threw in a dig at Hangman and the EVPs, sure. But he went on and on, was legitimately pissed.
His entire media scrum.
Yeah.
I don't think he ever stopped talking about it. I think even when they would try to ask him to get him off topic, he would just go back to it.
And I think 90% of AEW fans are against Punk on this. For the first time, I think, in this entire CM Punk, you know, his career, people are against him on this matter. When Tony Khan showed his face on a pre-recorded segment, which, by the way, was a good idea, because Tony being out there with them booing him would have been...
I even asked this when we talked about it. I don't see why they would boo him. Why? Like,
dude's going through a lot right now, you know?
I would understand booing him if he had a character. Like, Vince. Boom, that's his character. Tony Khan's just the owner of the company.
Someone, when they announced that he was going to address it on Dynamite, someone commented, said, what happened to not being an on-screen character? Someone who showed up 4 times on TV in the past 3 years. Yeah, he's shown up 4 times in the past 3 years to not be a character.
I was about to say, like, Vince, I was about to say, every time he showed up, it's to be, it's...
And he stunned someone in the dark segment. Like, he's just playing around,
yeah,
dude.
But, like, on the stuff he's actually been on TV, what, it was stuff with Brody.
Yep.
Announcing the Ring of Honor deal.
Yep.
As the owner. And then you have this situation with the Trios and the World title. So, like, that's him being an owner of the company. I mean...
So, when his face first pops up, you hear boos. Not, like, super, super loud, but
you can hear.
The majority was booing. But when he announced that he's vacating the World title, big pop. Big pop.
Yeah, I definitely think most of AEW's crowd has turned on. And rightfully so, There is one person I know who's in support of Punk, and it's Jim Cornette. Jim Cornette totally... And of course, Jim Cornette loves Punk, hates the Elite.
So do you think it's a mixture of like, okay, I've got this plan to call some people out in the media scrum here in a couple weeks. I'm going to win the world title, so I have leverage. And then a mixture of, I just got hurt again after winning the world title. MJF just got a monster reaction, and Chicago was loud MJF chants while I'm still in the ring. Do you think all of that mixed together made it worse than it was going to be?
I think it could have been. I mean, I think it was a mixture of premeditated, ham world champion. Also, he has to know he's hurt. I mean, if you've torn pec, bicep, you feel it, you know it's there, you know it doesn't feel it. You're in pain.
Yeah, when Edge tore his tricep a couple years ago, he said he felt it right when it happened.
I mean, Cody tearing his pec, that's constant pain. I mean, so...
Well, he said he had a slight tear in it, and then he completely tore it off the bone working out. Dude, oh, that would... Oh, man.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen videos of people's pecs just exploding?
It's the grossest thing.
Thanks to Ryan, I saw a video of that one time.
Even when Triple H tore his at Saudi, you didn't see it actually happen because it was on the far side, but you could actually see, like, when he was sitting on the ground, you can kind of see it, like, almost rolling up. I would rather watch someone break in their arm than watch a pet being torn.
Coming from someone that's... they're both bad. I don't want to see either, man.
I was about to say, like, it's pretty gross. So
I've broken an arm. It looks way worse than it actually feels. Yeah. It hurts, don't get me wrong, but I've never torn a muscle, don't want to. I know you have. What, MCL?
I've torn a ligament, yeah, and it's not fun. It's same precedence. When I tore mine, it went up my leg. Oof. So, like, yeah, just my MCL sat on the top of my kneecap, which is kind of cool. But
so, speaking of Ryan, okay, we've talked a lot about this. Just based off of all the stuff you've seen and heard, just your personal opinion, what is your take on this entire situation?
I've always kind of thought that Punk was kind of not – I thought we kind of thought he was a little bit of a bitch.
I'm not a fan of Phil Brooks.
I don't know.
He shares a bank account with his mother.
I mean, it just kind of seems like everything I've heard about – and, you know, he kind of disappeared for, seven years. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, from, 14 to 21, so that's seven years. Yeah.
But it seems like most of the time when he's talking about anything, nothing's his fault. Nothing.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I don't know him.
Me neither.
You know, so who knows?
Do you know him, Matthew?
I do, yeah. I was Nick in the media scrum. I couldn't use my real name.
I was ACL's wife in the locker room. The Bucks super kicked me.
I was actually Larry the Dog. I took a stiff V trigger from Kenny, and then he saved my life. My life is forever indebted.
Anyways,
to the best bout machine.
Continue.
But I don't know. It just seems like he's always deflecting everything, and I don't know what went down when he was in WWE and when he left. I don't know. You know, we only know what we've been told and have heard.
I believe probably like 60% of what he said about the stuff that went down in WWE. I think that's fair because a lot of it sounds pretty accurate.
Yeah, and like I'm not doubting that Vince isn't an asshole.
I'm not doubting that. I wouldn't even doubt the staff infection stuff. But yeah. Of course, everybody's like, well, you see in Punk's face that he's hurt. First of all, if you're straight edge and you're wrestling, of course you're hurt because you don't take anything or do anything besides ice. You're going to look like you're in pain and you're miserable. So, I mean, I get it. But I could believe some of the staff infection stuff.
Yeah.
Sure.
But it just seems like every time something happens, it's always, oh, well, it wasn't me. You know, they did that, so I had to do this. Or
I'm sure it's somewhere out there, but I would love to find a video of him taking accountability. It's got to exist. He's had to have said once, I effed up. You know,
yeah, and like people, you mess stuff up. That's part of being a human.
Apparently not.
Especially in wrestling, dude.
Yeah.
People that have been in the business for 30 years mess up.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Unless you're Bret Hart. Bret Hart never messes
up. No, Goldberg messed up.
That's right. Goldberg's the reason why. Goldberg did him a stiff kick.
Yeah.
But like, I mentioned it when we were in the car in our group chat. Punk is playing the Bret Hart role to a T. Like, nothing's my fault. I'm the reason. I'm this. I'm that. And that's great. If it was true. Now, with Bret Hart, you know, best there is, best there was, best there will be. Bret Hart's pretty good.
Yeah.
Punk's not. Punk's not, he's solid, but he's not best in the world, all that. It really sounds like he thinks he's really, like, up there, and he should have a lot more say, so a lot more of a legend status. You probably already have Bret Hart, too, but it's not, and unfortunately, because of their ego, it's why they are so bitter and why they have so many problems. Which Bret wasn't having any problems with until Shawn, the old stuff with Shawn went down, so...
Which, by the way, if Twitter was around back in the 90s, is this what it would have been like?
Probably.
Yeah. Because you got to think about how much people are talking about the screw job without social media.
People still talk about it. When I sat down with my roommates at Flatbacks the first night we all met each other, I don't remember which one it was, but one of them said, all right, so Montreal screw job, work or shoot? And we talked for like 2 hours.
I mean, to it's, be fair.
How many years ago was that?
That was 97, so we're on the 25th anniversary, will be in November.
25 years later, people are still talking about that. Crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a crappy situation, all of this is.
Okay. It is, because it really sucks for AEW and for Tony, because you now have to crown a new world champion. You just got done having matches with Moxley, and me and him do interim stuff.
And I think he's handling it. Freaking!
This is the best awesome. Way to do it. I mean, because you're giving us good wrestling.
Yeah, you just gave us a banger with Hangman and Danielson
again.
Again, three. I'm cool with it. Yeah. Wrestle six more times. I don't care.
According to, of course, the spoilers come out from Rampage. It's going to be Sammy and Moxley, because I think Sammy beats Darby.
Okay.
So you're gonna have Sammy and Moxley, which is going to be solid. You got a guy.
Which how bad does Mox want to go on vacation? Will he put over Sammy, or will he go on vacation?
Can we brag about Mox? I feel like I've been bragging about Mox a lot, because I keep thinking
he is the face of AEW.
He gets a lot of crap, which I do think out of all three Shield members, he gets a lot more crap than others, because in terms of in-ring wrestling, he doesn't do much. Granted, his character doesn't call for him to be a technician. You know, some may not like his promos. Same thing. Character is supposed to be kind of a lunatic. Like,
I absolutely love Moxley's promos.
Would you say he's supposed to be a lunatic fringe?
I think so. You know, okay. Sure.
His promos are my favorite part about him. I think the main thing about Moxley is he believes everything he says. Therefore, when I hear him say it, I believe it too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's why I really loved him and Kingston when they were feuding. Loved them when they tagged together. Like, because they're two guys who are believing what they say, regardless if it's work or shoot. They're making you believe every word they
Kingston's
say.
Kingston's got to cut a I told you so promo about this whole Punk thing.
Whatever, he's too busy trying to work a stiff match with Tomohiro Ishii, which, by the way, again, a match I would have loved, and then it didn't really deliver. So, it is what it is. But Moxley's been a trooper, because Moxley was supposed to be on vacation.
Yeah, he even kind of said that in his promo. He's like, supposed to be on vacation 2 days ago, but...
And then had to come back and deal with all this. Dude, they put the belt on?
So I don't want to see it, but if he gets it, I'm in my head. He deserves it, because he is the AEW workhorse. He is there when they need him. He's there.
And I think at this point, if you're AEW, you need a champion who is not going to cause problems or have any problems. Your best bet is really Moxley, or in terms of also credibility, Moxley or Danielson are your only two options.
And I think Danielson's a damn good... It'd be cool to put the belt on Danielson. You know, he had that big match with Omega at Arthur Ashe... Grand Slam. He had that big blah, blah, blah.
Then he did go 60 minutes with Hangman, right?
Yeah. But he had that big match with Omega for the title at Grand Slam last year. Let him win the title at Grand Slam this year. Why not?
Might as well. And also, because you're going to get good matches with him, especially if you get... Because I think, didn't they wrestle in 2019? You made it Adam Cole and Daniel Bryan. I think they wrestled on SmackDown one time.
They did. Yeah. That was that episode where everybody got trapped on a plane in Saudi Arabia.
That's right. Yeah. So, like.
Oh, wrestling.
Danielson opens up the opportunity for more matches, and it's something different. Because I love Moxley. If Moxley wins it, I'm cool with it. Because the dude has been the heart and soul of AEW, truthfully. But I do think. Let's try to go a different route to keep the fans intrigued and have a new champion.
He's not the dollars and cents.
He is not. I mean,
but who is now? Is it MJF? Is that
probably?
Which, by the way, if they do bring Punk back, I think they should just like grow a set, turn MJF babyface, and turn Punk heel. Because you know who's going to cheer for MJF regardless? The fans. Mm-hmm. Because he's amazing.
And that's the thing, like, it, when you're so good at what you do, you can't really, like, you can't be, you're, when you're so good at what you do, it's kind of hard to do what you do. Like, if you're such a good heel, and people cheer you, then technically you're not being heel because you're too good at it.
So, like, somebody in the scrum, they asked Tony, they're like, you know, MJF, he got a big reaction in Chicago. Does that hurt the psychology of this feud? And Tony's like, no, I don't think it does. He's like, generally, when people make a big comeback in wrestling, there's going to be cheers anyways. He said, plus, we don't tell people who they need to cheer or boo here. He's like, you can think for yourself. MJF's really good.
And also, like, and also, you know, he did the whole, on Dynamite, he did the whole, like, fake generic babyface thing kind of going down there. You know, wore the
Bills
jersey.
He came out
jersey,
in the Josh Allen jersey and then wiped his ass with it.
And then just went back full-blown heel and was getting booed. So, like, he can still get booed.
I wish. So, somebody like, called into Busted Open and mentioned this. But they said they should do the MJF babyface thing for, like, 2 weeks. And then, but I love how he snapped out of it on Wednesday, where you couldn't see it coming, but you knew he was full of crap. Like, yeah. But he got out there, he did all that stuff, and then Mox said, I think you're full of crap. Or, I think you're full of crap. I'm supposed to be on vacation.
I'm not even supposed to be here today.
But Mox tells him he's full of it, and MJF goes, what? You don't think I like these smelly, poor, lard-ass fans? Rips the jersey off, wipes his ass with it, and throws the scarf on. And he's got that same red button-up that he was wearing during his crazy promo, pipe bomb, nuke, whatever you want to call it, yeah, that he cut.
Dropping nukes.
Also, he has a really cool shirt that came out. Have you seen his new shirt?
Yeah, the devil.
The greatest shirt the devil ever pulled, and it's like, I think devil was in his Burberry.
Punk's going to leave the business again, all right? And MJF's top-selling shirt is going to be a CM Punk quote.
Well, apparently, like, yeah, that is true.
I love that.
So, I guess, in terms of your selling point would probably be a Moxley or an MJF. I can argue Danielson. Yes. I feel like Danielson's kind of well-known. I mean, probably. I mean, because the unfortunate part with Danielson with being well-known is that he had a huge movement with a Yes movement, but you got to think, at the pinnacle of the moment, pinnacle, with him winning the belt at Mania 30, he's gone a month later because he gets hurt. So like, you have guys there that I think can kind of help at least keep it going.
By the way, have you heard the new catchphrase that MJF uses? He says, the bidding war of 2024.
I did see that.
He said he's going to go work for the best con in professional wrestling, Jolly Old Saint Nick.
But I think he is at, and this is crazy, he's what, 25?
Yeah, 25 and a half.
Okay. Yeah, I can imagine JR. This guy is 20 half in years old. And he is making not a lot of money here.
Or he just refuses to call him MJF like he refuses to call Jungle Boy.
This is Maxwell.
They're doing that on AW
Max
Social
Friedman is
now.
25 half.
So on AW Social stuff, they're putting, like, Jungle Boy Jack Perry.
Well, when he was feuding with Christian, like, they tried to, you know how, this is the first time I remember someone cutting this type of promo is when Punk said, sure, I'll talk to you, but this isn't CM Punk talking to Triple H. This is Phil Brooks talking to Paul Levesque. He said, yeah. You're going to get me at the pay-per-view, Christian, but you're not going to get Jungle Boy. You're going to get Jack Perry.
Oh, man.
No, anything but that. Like,
who knows what Jack Perry's capable of?
All the same things as Jungle Boy, believe it or not. They're the same person.
Pulling Anna Jay, apparently. I mean.
And of course,
damn, Sean.
And not seeing the Luchasaurus was going to turn on him.
Twice.
I mean, you would think when he didn't go back to his green gear.
How was Christian the one that got hurt out of that match? Jungle Boy got chokeslammed on the metal grate.
He was hurt before it. Like, he had been hurt beforehand. Damn. But the thing is, he hasn't wrestled.
Hardly, yeah.
So, but
was that his first match since, like, 2021? Wait, hold on a sec. He came back in 2021, wrestles for, like, a couple of months, and then he's...
And then he's Jungle Boy's stepdad.
Oh, no.
He's Jungle's stepdad, Christian Perry or something. Like, I mean, so, he hasn't wrestled much since. I mean, maybe a handful of matches here and there, but in 2022, or at least since he's been on this heel run, I don't remember him wrestling. Besides, he may have wrestled on a couple of enhancement matches, but still. But they're saying it's his right arm. Because that was the one that was heavily taped and bandaged and stuff. So,
I gotta ask Ryan, okay? If you were the owner, both of you, but we'll start with Ryan. If you were the owner of AEW, okay? Punk happened, the Elite fight, blah blah blah. How do you? What is the best outcome for you, and how do you do it?
Well, what I do?
You'd fire Punk.
Well, you see, look, I'm gonna put him in. We're gonna have a tournament, right?
Okay.
But it's gonna be shoot.
It's like the brawl for all.
The AEW brawl for all.
It's a shoot tournament, and the winner gets to stay.
Okay, so Punk is the only trained fighter out of those guys.
Okay.
And A-Steel.
That's fine.
Can A-Steel be in the tournament too?
Sure, why the hell not? The more the merrier. I'm going to stream it. We're making money off this.
Streaming on Bleacher Report next Tuesday.
You think I'm not making money off this? You're dead wrong.
By the way, big shout out to Bleacher Report for sucking nuts. Stream for All Out sucked. It did not buffer until the main event, until we missed the finish of the match. We missed
MJF pretty much coming back.
We missed a part of Tony Khan's phone call to him. But we saw the good part, at least. What are you doing? Like, what's your plan, and like, how do you want it to end? I've already kind of told my answer. I want to smooth things out and make money off of it.
Again, I'm going for keeping my locker room happy because, again, those
fire
guys,
Punk.
I'll be a little nicer about it. I'll say, hey, I know you're hurt. How about this? You're out for 6 to 8 months. I'll pay you for 8. After that, you're gone. So, like, technically, you still get paid a better contract, but then once you're healed up... that's probably kind of also a little petty.
I would probably give Punk a chance to... Even though he said it in the media scrum, we are way past apologies. I would still say, as the boss, I'll give you guys a chance to work things out. If you can't figure it out, you're gone. And you know what? If you wanted to keep... Okay, if you wanted your locker room to be happy and you wanted to stick with your day one guys, you fire Punk and Steel, all right? Straight up.
I think Steel's gone regardless.
Oh, yeah. He fucking threw a chair at somebody.
And then, you know, thought his wife was getting attacked by the Hardys. Could you imagine? It's like, oh, the Hardys and Michael Hayes are coming to get me.
Oh, man. It's
That's
the Hardys.
They banged on the door. They played the Hardys thing. Dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun, open dun, the door. Open the door. Door. Whoa. Okay. Yeah, moving on.
I can slap a door.
But you know what Vince would do? Hey, y'all figure this out and apologize, or y'all are all fired.
So, like, again, I think, and I probably would offer that up, like, hey, you can fix it, or I can pay you for the next 6 months, and you just don't come back. Like that. Either way, I feel like that's the one. Like, hey,
but if you really wanted it all to work out, like, if you wanted everybody to stay and everybody to smooth things over, you guys have a few months to smooth things over and maybe even figure out an angle to work, or y'all are all fired. Obviously, you could probably call him on his bluff, but still, just putting that out there and saying that to them, which probably would rub the Elite the wrong way.
Probably so. And I think at this point, would Punk even care if he got threatened about being fired? Honestly?
Yeah, because supposedly he's already threatened to leave during the summer. Supposedly he's already threatened lawsuits.
Like, so would he even care? Like, I mean, which again, if you're looking at it from a business sense, like, and of course, the wrestling business is such a different business compared to, like, obviously the corporate world. Men's list. So obviously, the rules, you'd say, oh, he was unprofessional and it was kind of like negligence. Well, okay, it's wrestling. It's a little different. But, like, if you want to be fair, if this is an actual corporate company, Punk's gone the moment he steps off the podium.
Yeah.
Because he's breaking so many rules. So, I mean, I could see it going either way, but if it's me... Sure, you get a chance. I wouldn't even say a few months. Hey, you got like 2 weeks. If you can't work it out in 2 weeks, you're not going to work it out in 6 months. See ya. Like, it's been great. You've made some money. You know, we're glad you're here, but obviously this is not going to work. I'm going to let you go. I'll still, like, again, I'll still offer to pay him because, I mean, may as well, because he's probably going to sue anyway, so you're going to have to give him money regardless. Pay him. Let him go commentate for, like, the professional fighting league on ESPN or something, and then do whatever. Like, I really don't mind.
He goes
Punk
back to WWE.
Well, you know, I saw a theory that he's actually on the payroll for WWE, and he's trying to take it down from the inside.
Well, he's doing a damn good job.
Yep.
If that's the case.
And then when he comes back for his broken skull sessions, he'll say that. Like,
Now, son, I heard you's on the payroll. You know, I gotta ask, you know, is that you working or shooting here? Were you getting paid under the table by Daddy Vince? I gotta know. I don't share a bank account. I was like, okay.
Listen, I'm Steve, not... I haven't talked to Scott Colton a lot. Steve, do you do improv with Scott Colton? Son, I don't know what the hell you're talking about, this improv.
Who is he?
Son, what is an improv? Son, I really don't know who Scott Colton is. I know Scott Norton. And I tell you what, Scott Norton was a straight shooter. You know, big guy in Japan. We wrestled a few times, but I mean, that's a stiff guy.
I tell you what, me and Kurt, we had to do some improv out there one night because he got knocked silly during a match.
Every match Kurt was in?
Like, yeah!
Yeah!
This time I'm going to let it off. Anyways, that's a lot.
That was a lot to unpack.
Also, we forgot to mention that Braun Strowman came back.
Oh, yeah.
Like, can you believe that we didn't mention Braun Strowman coming back?
I know, man.
Look, let me go ahead and add this. Just weekly, you know, make it fun of Control Your Narrative. So, Braun came back Monday, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, they're planning this tour. Control Your Narrative is. So, someone got an email saying, "Dear Value Guest, we apologize to inform you that due to unforeseen circumstances, Control Your Narrative Arise North America 2022 on November 12th at 8 p.m. has been canceled. The only way to refund is via check. What is the best address to send it to? We thank you for understanding and appreciate your support. We hope to see you again soon. If you have any questions or concerns, do not hesitate to call us." So that was from the management company that was helping booking the event. They've already are canceling shows. Because everybody was like, oh, well, Braun's not the... EC3's bankrolling it, too. They're canceling shows the moment. And I bet you Braun's selling more tickets than EC3 is.
Well, yeah.
Like, and
what,
I'm
if,
sure
what if Triple H lets him work both?
Oh, that'd be stupid. Could you imagine that? Also, Braun's finish has changed.
What is it now?
He's doing the powerbomb. Because he powerbombed Otis tonight on SmackDown. And he powerbombed a couple of people on Monday Night Raw. So I think that's kind of like... Because he hasn't done the power slam. He's done a choke slam and a powerbomb. I don't know if he's added the power slam to it. But all the clips they're posting has been him doing the powerbomb. So do you call it the Braun Bomb?
The Bromb.
The narrative.
The Braun Bomber.
Also, he got a new theme song. Apparently, so he's not. He doesn't have.
Oh,
the,
so it's not. Whoa!
So, but Braun's back. Braun Dominic back. Is with Daddy Rhea. You know,
Dom sub.
She said she made him a man. What does she mean by that?
Son, I mean, daughter. What? So, what do you mean by you turned him into a man? Like, is there something sexual going on that we need to know about?
What is up? You know, Rhea and Buddy Matthews, they're dating, like, in real life. What is it with them and just tormenting the Mysterio family? Australians hate the Mysterios.
That's what it is. There's not big fans of Lucha. But Dominic Hill, you know, hey.
Rhea is apparently his mouthpiece, cutting his promos for him.
That's not a bad idea. I mean, well, I say that. I don't know how good of a promo Rhea is. Hasn't been bad, I mean, since joining Judgment Day. I mean, well, when she was at the Edge, it was just, I knew my wrong ways. Now all I know is eradication. Okay. And then you got Damian Priest. And punishment! Honestly, Rhea is essentially the leader of the Judgment Day. Because no one else is talking but her. Which is fair, because she's not wrestling. Has she wrestled a match since coming back?
I don't know.
I don't like it matters. But Dominic Teal, he's wearing, you know, all black now. His mullet is now slicked, which is good. You know, so it looks less like a mullet. Because I did mention when we put it in the group chat, oh, Dominic just turned heel. Now he can cut his hair. I mean, granted, I know the whole thing, you know, oh, well, if you don't like his hair, that's part of the thing. I mean, I get that. But if you want to be, like, a serious heel, I can't take you seriously with Morgan Wallen hair. So,
you guys want to hear a quote from Bobby Fish about CM Punk?
Please.
All right, viewer discretion is advised for this one. I'm working for AEW. They're paying my check. You asked me to put my shoulders down for Phil Brooks, I go out and do it. Interestingly enough, there was a little whatever in the match we had, and Phil was, after the match, Phil was a cunt. Frankly, as a martial artist, I went out and laid my shoulders down for you. You should be grateful that I didn't, because on national TV, if I decided that I wanted to fucking Haku your ass, I could have, because you're...
because you're that little of a threat in my world. I'm not John Jones or Anderson Silva, but I've been doing martial arts long enough to where I can hold you like a wet nap, Phil Brooks. Okay, Bobby.
Now, I mean, Bobby Fish is legit shooting.
That is not a dude I would want to get into a
fight
with.
But the fact that he is using haku as a verb. Hold on, is it a verb or adjective? Do we know? Which one means you're doing something?
A verb, you dumbass. Okay. Are you kidding?
I just wanted to make sure. Well, because Kevin Nash said, look at the adjective play when it came to WCW. I just want to double check. He said, this is where the big boys play, huh? Look at the adjective play. No, because is it? I don't know. Anyways, but he turned.
Good save.
I know, right? I'm blaming it on Big Sexy for not knowing
him. Big Daddy Smoke.
Big Smoke.
OG.
Just Big Smoke. Big Smoke. Have a number nine. Two number sevens.
Okay.
Three number nines.
Lodge.
So, I mean, but
so
all you had to do was follow the train.
By the way, Jesus. By the way, so this episode comes out on Monday. We're recording this on Friday. Will there be any more, like, breaking news on this fact in the next 2 days?
I think more. I don't know about breaking news. I think they may have more details, maybe on what happened. I would hope, because
I would hope so.
I mean, you may hear more details
when Homeland Security gets done investigating this backstage fight for AEW.
Joe Biden himself.
Oh, weird. Yeah, okay.
Should probably stop before Ryan starts.
We here at the Triple Threat. Oh, we're not even the Triple Threat.
No, we here at another wrestling podcast have no political affiliation.
We have no opinions on anything.
We
are
dumb.
Can we have
a moment of silence for the Queen?
Huh?
Can we have a moment of silence for the Queen?
Have you seen
the who?
All the memes about Prince Charles cashing in his money in the bank?
No, but dude, there's no build up to this story, no nothing. No number one contenders match. Just King.
And someone's like, just wait. The Queen's gonna do a running on Princess Diana in heaven. I was like, oh, come on.
No, someone posted
Diana's waiting.
Super kick party.
No, someone
throw
post-
her off the cell.
Throw her in off of heaven into hell in a cell.
Somebody had the clip of Taker throwing Mankind off the cell.
Oh, and it was like, this is what
Diana's doing when Elizabeth gets up there.
So the two best memes I saw, this is so messed up, but the two best memes I saw.
Rest in peace.
Oh, all respect due, but someone posted the My Way Rock and Austin promo as a Princess Diana when she sees Queen Elizabeth.
I got My Way. Yeah.
And then, and I quote, the wildest tweet I think I've seen about this whole matter is, hell hasn't had a 5-star prospect since Hitler like this. Hold on. Are we really talking about this on our wrestling podcast?
Yeah.
What's another wrestling podcast?
Just another.
Yeah.
Another
one.
Okay. So, anyways, what a way to end it. Making fun of the Queen.
We're just paying our respects.
Is this what it is?
Yeah.
We say
I'm going to go dump some tea in the harbor.
I love how we just said we have no opinions on anything, and then we go in on the Queen.
Again,
what's she going
to
do?
We need to stop. We need to stop before Ryan starts.
That's gonna be a T-shirt.
Could you imagine? Ryan just comes in with "Don't Tread on Me" flag draped over him. He spends all of his savings going to England.
He puts a big ass sticker on the back of his car that says "We the People are pissed off."
Is that already on your truck, Ryan?
No, I only have one sticker on my truck.
Don't tell me what it is.
Says caution, fiber optic cable.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I was scared for a second there.
Honestly, just about all the people, out of all the
it's
people
just stars and bars, baby.
That's what I was afraid of.
Honestly.
No.
Out of out of all of us here.
You have a nice little Blue Lives Matter sticker on the back.
He's Taker.
There was one when I bought the truck, but.
But I put it in my glove compartment now.
No, I think I threw it away. I don't know.
You know how Ricky Bobby had Fade Newton on his windshield? Ryan's just going to have...
Don't tread on me.
I was thinking
no that, step on snake.
No, it's... it's just going to be a giant AR-15. It's just... no, it's just come and take it!
By the way, anybody that has a sticker on the back of their car, I'm like, hey, I have a gun. Like, if you want to just pull up beside me and just, you know, shoot me in the head and then take my gun, like, you can. Also, same thing with open carry. Someone walks in the place, wants to shoot it up. They see someone with a gun on them. Hey, guess who they're shooting first?
Yeah, you make yourself a target.
You made yourself known!
It's the whole
Are we really closing the show? Can we just, like, say something wrestling-related?
Something wrestling related.
Something wrestling related.
Something wrestling related.
There we go.
Good job.
I'm proud of us. So this has been a crazy week. But next week, we have a special episode.
We have a request.
That is right. Which, by the way, if you want to request an episode, request an episode. That's how I thought it sounded in my head. I could have just stroked for a second.
That is how it sounded in your head.
Yeah.
That's how it sounded out loud, too.
Okay.
Yep.
We'll quit your episode.
Anyways,
please.
If you guys would like
just
to
let
request
us know.
An episode or like a review episode.
You can text Ryan.
Just text Ryan, yeah. He's the one that answers it.
I didn't answer it this time.
Shoot him a call. Shoot him a call.
Don't call me.
We will post his phone number in the description.
Don't call me. Don't.
I don't even know his number. I just have him saved as Ryan. Can we give out your number?
No.
Can we put it in the description of the? Hold on. What if I just scatter it throughout the episode description? Not like, and they have to figure it out.
How about for like $100 Patreon tier, we give out your phone number.
As long as only I get the money.
60-40.
No.
How about 30-70?
No.
You're gonna do business.
Am I?
Good thing we don't have a media scrum after this.
Yeah, because if
I'm not friends with Wynn Brantley or Matthew Allen.
I haven't wanted to be for a very long time.
I haven't been since middle school. So it's been a crazy week, but next week we get to do a special request. Again, if you want to request an episode, follow us on social media, send us a message. Whatever.
Any social media, TikTok, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook.
Yeah, just throw it out there. And obviously, it may not happen as quick as this one. We're doing it next week because we just kind of wanted to fit it into our schedule pretty quick. But if you request an episode, we will do it. It just may take time because we may have other stuff. Like, obviously, we could have did it this week, but this week had too much good stuff to talk about.
And honestly, if within the next week more comes out on this story or anything else big happens, we will discuss it in the first, say, 15 minutes the show before we go into... Have you already said what we're covering?
No, but we get to cover another WrestleMania. So we've covered a lot of WrestleManias in the past, but this one's going to be pretty solid. It's WrestleMania 7. You get to see... Sergeant Slaughter, Love Iraq. There's a blindfold match. I mean, tons of stuff. I mean, I think it's Bret Hart. It's the Hart Foundation's like last tag match. So there's a lot of good things. Ultimate Warrior and Macho Man.
Yep.
Savage have a match. Or Macho King, I should say. A lot of great stuff on this WrestleMania. Even though it's kind of looked down upon because locations got moved and it didn't sell well because of Sergeant Slaughter being champion. Who cares? Whatever. Still a pretty solid Mania. So we have to cover that. Next week, and then we have another review the week after, which we'll need to announce that next week. So,
yep, shout out to Nick, can't pronounce your last name, for suggesting this episode. We really appreciate it. Ryan, you want to try?
Please.
Oh, God,
put it on a bumper sticker.
Opaleski,
is it really that easy? It looked way harder.
O-P-A-L.
I'm
not going to spell it. That's probably Opaleski, I think.
If that's how it's pronounced, I don't want to hear any more crap about me pronouncing Satama.
Do you want to try?
Try.
That's what it looks like to me, I mean.
Yeah, Opaleski? Opaluski?
There's no O or U.
Lou?
In the entire word. Not a single
There's
one.
There's an O.
At the beginning.
That's in the word, Ryan. Believe it or not, it starts with an O.
Thank you, Nick.
Thanks, buddy.
Thank you, Mr. Opaleski.
Opaleski.
Mr. Keselowski.
Okay.
All right, close the show.
Anyway, guys, we hope you actually enjoyed this episode. We had fun doing it.
Yeah, I had a hell
so
of a time.
So you can follow us on social media, guys. Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, Another Wrestling Pod.
We're going to, like, every so often release a TikTok, probably.
Yeah, and you could see some that we've released in the past, like our AJ Styles vaping stuff.
Yep.
You know, Really thought we were going to get JBL Godzilla, but that's a lot. So,
we can do 10-minute videos now.
That we can't. Could you imagine us releasing 10-minute TikToks? Jeez.
I do have a TikTok idea I want to run by y'all when we get off.
Go ahead.
No.
Just do it after.
No.
You can do it live. On social media. Guys, of course, keep up with our episodes. If you like what you enjoy, leave us a review, you know? Give us 5 stars. Melter does it.
Or one. Give us one. That's fine.
Yeah, I mean, just, you know, give us your honest opinion. That helps us make the show. Actually, it doesn't matter. You can say our show sucks. We're just going to do it how we always do it. Because it's worked out well so far, I think. Maybe not. Probably not. Still. So, for this week in wrestling, for this whole crazy, chaotic week, this has been another wrestling podcast. So, from Wayne Ryan and myself, we'll see y'all next time.